And a pleasant good morning. You're listening to Inside Agriculture from, well, the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road. And our reports from Dakota Fest throughout the day today are going to be brought to you by TRS Industries, as they're our sponsor at Dakota Fest. And of course, today, the first day of Dakota Fest, you'll be able to get into the grounds. I think it's $10 a person. Ribbon cutting ceremony gets underway at 10 o'clock. That's at the Reeves Building. It's the Dakota Fest Education Center at the Reeves Building, Innovation and Technology Campus. New structures put up here at Dakota Fest. And of course, all the activities get underway at 9 o'clock. Gates open at 9 o'clock this morning, and you can look at $10. Now, we've got tomorrow as well as Thursday, and we're going to be looking at some warm weather, a beautiful day on the grounds at Dakota Fest as we get started with the first day of Dakota Fest. 11 o'clock this morning, American Family Insurance is presenting General Farm Safety Principles. Now, that will be at the Education Center at the Reeves Buildings Innovation and Technology Campus. Also at 1:30 this afternoon, same location, South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Wildlife Habitat Session. That gets underway at 1:30 this afternoon. Now, tomorrow, if you're concerned about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and, of course, all your representatives are on recess until actually the 6th of September. But here's your chance, and it doesn't matter what state you're from. Senator John Thune, Senator Mike Rounds, Congresswoman Kristi Noem, all of South Dakota, are here at Dakota Fest, and that will be tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So when you get the opportunity to come down here, find a motel room, take in Dakota Fest tomorrow, make your issues known. Waters of the U.S. rule, as well as the TPP. And we're going to talk about the TPP inside agriculture today. So want to remind you to stick around. We got a lot of things going on. Wetland Mitigation Summit is 1:30 tomorrow. Also on Thursday, policy discussion with Senate candidate Jay Williams. Also the same thing at 10:30 with Senate congressional candidate Paula Hawks. So that coming up on Thursday. And again, you're listening to Inside Agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road. And we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk Trans-Pacific Partnership. And you're listening on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm and Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. We'll be back. Talk TPP next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road, you're listening to Inside Agriculture from Dakota Fest 2016. While the White House is telling Congress it intends to send up a bill to implement the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal sometime after the November election. Now, the notification sets a minimum 30-day period before the White House can present Congress the TPP implementing legislation, which is not expected until after TPP controversy eases following the election. The White House move signals the seriousness of the president's intent to pass TPP before his term ends. And as USDA is forecasting bearish corn and soybean prices on record yields and production. Now, American Farm Bureau Federation trade advisor Dave Salmonson says time's going to be short in a post-election lame duck session, but TPP could be compressed.
Now, the House and the Senate, both the House Ways and Means and Senate Finance Committee, have had some hearings, so they could say they have done some of that work, but they would have some kind of a procedure to pass it out of committee in order to send it to the floor. These things don't have to take a long time.
Even after TPP is submitted, Salmonson said the clock is not an arbitrary factor for Congress to complete the action.
You have up to 45 days in each chamber, but certainly if you can do it quicker, that's up to Congress. Those are, those are maximums in order to finally someday get to a vote, but if they decide they can they want to move it to the floor, they can do it as fast as they can.
Until then, the White House notification sets off a process under Trade Promotion Authority passed last year. It allows early consultations with lawmakers on remaining issues. Now, among those issues are U.S. pork and dairy access to overseas markets. Also, the prolonged period of low commodity prices combined with high input and production costs have put a significant strain on the farm sector. Unfortunately, it's too common in agriculture production today for farm incomes to not be able to cut costs of production. Now, Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, says that the impact of struggling farm economy has implications beyond the farm gate, and lawmakers need to understand the direct and indirect impact of commodity prices, and they remain low as forecast.
Perhaps the greatest challenge for producers today is operating through several years of low commodity prices. According to USDA's market forecasts, these trends are expected to continue with no real relief in sight. An example might be wheat prices, which are at the lowest in actual value by some calculations since the Civil War. On average, wheat growers are grossing less than $175 in income per acre, about 55% of cost of production. People can't stay in business with those kinds of numbers for very long. Farmers and ranchers are facing some very difficult decisions about the future of their operations. We must do a better job of supporting them.
Johnson, who testified about the farm economy before the House Ag Subcommittee on General Farm Commodities and Risk Management in April, says the perfect opportunity for family farmers and ranchers to have their voices heard is by having conversations with their representatives during the August congressional work period.
Family farmers and ranchers are the best advocates we have for agriculture. We emphasize to our farmers union members the importance of having open dialogue and building relationships with their elected officials because they need to have their viewpoints represented in the halls of Congress. During the August congressional recess, this is an ideal opportunity for rural constituents to make their voices heard by setting up meetings or attending town hall forums with their members of Congress.
Now, your best opportunity for that here at Dakota Fest is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Senator John Thune, Senator Mike Rounds, Congresswoman Kristi Noem, all here, part of Dakota Fest. We'll be back with more of Inside Agriculture right after this. Well, compared to a year ago, U.S. pork exports increased 2% in volume in June. At the same time, the value of those exports declined 4%. Now, the U.S. is facing major headwinds in the global marketplace with challenges over currency and market access. Pork Checkoff, Vice President of International Marketing, Becca Nepple, welcomes the current trade movement.
We are encouraged that exports are up even a little bit. And in June, we saw an 8% increase from 2015. So there are some major activity going on, especially in China and Hong Kong. So exports to China and Hong Kong are up 80%, which is a comparison to not having market access last year, but a really strong market right now in China. And actually, the volume going to China surpassed the volume going to Japan for the first time ever this year.
Now, Japan continues to be a significant market for U.S. pork.
Japan's still our number one value customer, although the value shipped to Japan is down about 10%. And again, that has a lot to do with currency competition and how our exporters have to price product to ship it to Japan to compete with the European Union, with Canada, and several other countries or entities within the EU.
Again, Becca Nepple, Pork Checkoff Vice President of International Marketing. Well, we're going to take a break here. However, when we come back, We definitely have some national information we want to talk about, U.S. dairy farmers. As a matter of fact, President of the American Farm Bureau Federation, Zippy Duvall, is at Dakota Fest. He's here today. We'll be here through tomorrow morning. And I would expect that he'll be on Farm Talk with Mick Kerr this afternoon. So we invite you to stick around for that. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about U.S. dairy farmers and the issues they're going through, and also some of the schedules that are going on here at Dakota Fest. So we'll be back right after this. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, U.S. dairy farmers have asked the USDA to purchase up to $150 million worth of cheese. Pro Farmers First Thing Today says that money could purchase up to 90 million pounds of cheese to help feed the poor. And it also would help farmers struggling with the lowest milk prices since they've seen since 2009. National Milk Producer Federation CEO Jim Mulhern said it would remove the equivalent of 900 million gallons of milk from the market. That move would boost global on-farm income by 16 cents per hundredweight over a year and improve dairy farmer income by $380 million. Worldwide demand has slumped over the last 2 years, with a large part of that due to fewer purchases from China and Russia. Well, corn and soybeans are progressing in the Midwest well ahead of average. And if you combine that with good harvest weather in the forecast, harvest 2016 might start early this year. As of now, September and October weather outlooks don't call for any major delays for farmers bringing in their crops. Dale Moeller of AccuWeather says the September outlook calls for normal rains in the Midwest, below normal in the South. Moeller said, ideally, farmers would like a bit drier weather for harvest, but there will be 3 to 5 day stretches of dry weather between rains. However, October outlook calls for cooler and wetter weather. So we'll find out. There's one area that may actually get above normal rainfall in October, and that's in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and northern Iowa. The other biggest weather threats during harvest time are an early freeze and extreme winds, but they don't appear to be a big threat this year. The risk of an early frost looks lower than normal because of a warm September, but it's not out of the question. Moeller said an average October freeze may not be a factor if farmers can get in the fields early and make good progress in September. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from Dakota Fest 2016, ribbon cutting gets underway at 10 o'clock this morning at the Reeves Building. Brand new facilities here at Dakota Fest. A lot of activities taking place in those facilities. American Family Insurance is presenting General Farm Safety Principles. That at 11 a.m. and at 1:30, South Dakota Game and Fish Parks Wildlife Habitat Session takes place in that auditorium. Also, tomorrow, check-in from Washington, D.C. We mentioned that gets underway at 10 a.m. Senator John Thune, Senator Mike Rounds, and Congresswoman Kristi Noem from South Dakota will be here. And like I mentioned before, doesn't matter what state you're from, if you're coming to Dakota Fest, they've got a job to do. They've got to take your message to Washington, D.C., deliver it, and try to get those problems solved. Farming and ranching has all kinds of issues. We just heard about the dairy issue. Also, Waters of the U.S. rule. Also, TPP. All questions you can address with these fine folks. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.